Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And I win, Mike Harmon. I told
How's
you
that?
I was going to win, and I win. Because
What'd
I'm looking
win?
At what's trending right now on social
yeah.
media. What's at the top? Buddy Hield. I told you, buddy. I told you that was going to happen. I told you. Lakers playing the Kings. Get ready. Buddy Hield is going to trend all over this. Because eventually Laker fans are going to get on Twitter and go, why did we get Buddy Hield? Why did we go get Russell Westbrook? I don't understand. And there he is at the top. Look, we mentioned
Buddy Hield did outscore him.
He did.
Did outscore Russell Westbrook. He had his 10 points in his 29 minutes of play.
Look.
I think he had that in his brain because he wasn't doing much offense. He's like, I got to outscore him because then I'll be the guy going into the overnights.
Look, this is why we said a few minutes ago, tonight is that not a sea change night because clearly it's been going in the direction of, okay, Russell Westbrook with the Lakers is not working. And the fans understand the Lakers have to understand that after tonight that this experiment, what they're doing is just not working. And look, they could have put him in a better spot, but they didn't. And look, I feel bad because I thought it was going to work. Look, I'll tell you when I'm wrong about stuff. I thought Russell Westbrook was going to work because I thought the Lakers are going to let him come in and he's going to be a dominant player in the regular season. He's going to allow AD and LeBron to get rest, not have to carry the team, and he's going to do what he's done for the last 12 years. Well, the Lakers blew that by saying, oh, no, you're going to fit in with what we do in the offense, and Russell Westbrook is standing on the wing while LeBron James is bringing the ball up. How is that work? How's that going to work? How's it going to work? Frank Vogel's got an NBA championship, and I know that wasn't going to work. How does he think that's going to work? Let's take Russell Westbrook, who's done one thing, and make him do something different after he's doing it for a dozen years. I don't know why you thought that was going to happen. That's just bad coaching, right? That's just not even seeing who the players are. But the
reality is, though, I mean, how much of that is LeBron James and his willingness or not to shuffle up and deal, right? When he's been putting up a ton of points and effective in the five slot, right? First time in his career, look at what he's doing, whatever. I mean, and you got to adjust to that, but part of it is on him. And I said that before the season, that needed to be where you were going, to your point about Westbrook being your ball handler and trying to make the offense go.
If the Lakers had allowed that to be the way it was developed, it would have worked. And I feel that because I thought it was going to work. I thought it would go. But now it clearly isn't. And LeBron James, the GM, has a lot of faults. But look, I understand. It's done now. It's done. The experiment is done. They lost to the Kings. The Kings stink. They're looking at Buddy Hield hitting shots off the bench, the guy that everybody wanted them to go get. Now, if you want to go get Buddy Hield, the asking price is a lot lower because you're talking about a guy coming off the bench now for Sacramento who's not scoring quite what he was, not playing as many minutes, so you can still go get him. But now, I mean, everything is coming to a head tonight. We lost to the Kings. Hield was a guy we got. We chose Russell Westbrook over him. Westbrook was terrible. Hield still, you know, gave him points off the bench in a game they won and they beat us. And this is that where you take a second and sigh and go, all right, it's just not working. We just have to make a move, and this is how it's done in the NBA. And now the Lakers have to, unless they can get creative, this is just who they're going to be. A 500 team, they're going to win some games, they'll lose some games, and we'll be getting to the playoffs going, oh, if this Laker team now, only now if they could take off, and it's just not going to happen. But this is the night where I don't know that anybody can back up and say, oh, come on, man, give Westbrook some time. And, even the staunchest of supporters, like me, that thought it was going to work in the beginning, I'll tell you, it's not working. It's not going to work. It's not ever going to work. It's a lost cause.
Sitting at 500, you're in that back end of the playoff bracket, and now it's just grind it out. Get Anthony Davis back. Get his legs back under him. Do your best to navigate this rest of the season, right? Obviously, protocols changing as they will, and trying to make sure, you know, from a health perspective, you go in as best you can. Maybe you can make a move at the trade deadline. Going to take a lot of creativity when you look at the absence of a pile of draft picks or really any tradable assets outside of Talen Horton Tucker, who, depending on which game opposing teams have watched, right, in their scouting departments, like, you really look good here. Eh, not so much these nights. So send them half the tapes, that kind of thing, and see if you can't obfuscate, you know, reality there. But I think it's done, and now it's the, while you're not going rah-rah when you get to the playoffs, there certainly is some intrigue, right? Going back and forth with some folks on Twitter about it. Like, would I be excitable thinking, yeah, they're going to go in and dominate any series? No. But I would love to see, you know, the veterans in a, you know, series kind of atmosphere, these one-off games, travel, whatever else. Yeah, you're professionals. You got to get through it. But is it the same level of intensity right now? We're talking about it, you know, with the NFL and the end of season and all the fervor to finish things off. Right now, other than 20 games from now starting to play for seeding, if you can jockey for a slot or two, what are you playing for, right? You're just trying not to get hurt. You're playing to fill your pockets and the coffers. And, you know, NBA fans are going to start screaming and going at me and have at it at Swollen Dome. But that's the reality. Some of it is, it's not that you're playing out the string. This is the baseball equivalent of the dog days of August, right? Where you're at the halfway part of the season. But the All-Star game, which should be the midpoint, is still weeks away.
Long time. Keep waiting.
Just grinding.
Keep waiting. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studio. So, yeah, tonight's that night for Russell Westbrook, Buddy Hield, everybody else. It's that night.
Now, what do you win for the Buddy Hield prediction?
I don't know. I guess I win the honor of being right, like, you know, like I am a lot. So I'll take that. I'll just put – it's another win in the column. I mean, I'll just take another
win in the column. Rob Pelinka's trending.
Yeah, it's another win in the column. Yeah, Rob Pelinka, why didn't you go get Buddy Hield? Hey, it's all one sentence. Why did you get Russell Westbrook instead of Buddy Hield? Rob Pelinka, boom, 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 boom.
I clicked on the Rob Pelinka, and the first thing to show up was from an account, which may actually be part of our show, but nobody told me.
No one told me.
At Lake Show Yo is the name of the account.
Okay.
How is Russell Westbrook this bad? And it is a mashup of missed shot air balls off the top of the backboard. You name it. It's about as bad as, I mean, that's a super cut that would keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Down the line.
Wow. That same guy is now apparently giving away Lakers t-shirts. Just giving them away.
I like that.
So we'll have more NBA.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Rob Pelinka trying to make everyone forget he traded for Russell Westbrook.
Oh,
and it's him,
man,
getting ready to set the spell from the Spider-Man movie.
Oh, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Spider-Man. But some big-time NFL to get to now. As earlier today, and this one instance from today jumps into a much bigger question that affects really a third of the league. Colts owner Jim Irsay put out a statement today saying how upset he was with the way the season ended for the Colts, and already they are working on making things better for next year. The Colts, who completely gacked away a playoff spot by getting thumped by the Jaguars the final week of the season. Carson Wentz was awful, and now everybody wants Carson Wentz out of Indianapolis. Indianapolis, Cleveland, the Lions, Broncos, Panthers, Giants, Washington, Miami, Pittsburgh. These are all teams that either need or they want a new quarterback for. These are all teams that going into next year, we need or want a new quarterback because what we've been going on isn't working. And we got to go get somebody new. And I got news for you. Your team next year is going to look just like it did this year. All right. The Colts are still going to trot out Carson Wentz opening week, right? The Browns are still going to trot out Baker Mayfield. The guy's untradeable. The Lions are still going to throw Jared Goff out there week one. The Broncos are still going to have Teddy Bridgewater taking reps with the ones all through training camp, right? Carolina's going to have the Sam Darnold, Cam Newton quarterback battle next summer. The Giants are still going to have Daniel Jones out there trying to do things. Washington's still going to have Taylor Heinicke out there going, oh, he's had some good games, some nuts. So good. Miami's still going to be going with Tua, and the Steelers are going to be still try to go with Mason Rudolph, whoever else they try to make it work with, as Roethlisberger is going away. All these teams, this is a third of the league that need or want a new quarterback next year, and they're not going to get it because this is a bad year to need a quarterback because free agency is not going to see you bring somebody in. There's nobody in the draft. You were talking about a top 10 that could not see a quarterback taken. When's the last time you ever thought that could happen? But we may see the top 10 picks in the NFL go in the draft and not one of them is a quarterback.
Maybe Matt Corral sneaks in.
Maybe Kenny Pickett. It sneaks in, you know, Sam Howell's going to be outside the top 10. This is not a year. And when you do draft a guy like that, it's not someone you're just going to give him the job right away. So all of these teams are going to be going the next year with the same names. And it's disheartening to hear at this point because, you know, look, we're just turning the page to 2022 and, all right, hey, I'm hoping for next year. No. All these guys are going to be back because it's not a great year to remake your quarterback room and go get somebody. The best you can hope for if you're one of these teams are we're going to bring in somebody to challenge them. That maybe if putting out our guy that I can't stand, we're going to have somebody else if that guy falters. That's going to be your best bet. Because unless you can trade for Rodgers, Wilson, or Watson, which are the three big jewels of the offseason, depending on Deshaun Watson's legal situation, but you know Russell Wilson wants out, and who knows what side of the bed Aaron Rodgers is waking up on. You're calling those teams, or you're stuck. Right? You are absolutely stuck because there's just nowhere to go to get better. Look, the Browns could go to Case Keenum and they would have been better off right away. They didn't do it. We got to bring Baker Mayfield back. Okay, so maybe it's Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum next year. But now all of these teams, there's just nowhere to say, now we got our franchise guy of the future. We're handing him the job and we've turned the page and we're rebuilding. All these teams now that are in the middle of these rebuilds are all going to have another year that's a lot like this one because they got to hope that after this year, all right, other quarterbacks will shake free, that it's going to be a better year in the draft, a better year in free agency, whatever trades happen, other players will shake loose that we can go get, because this is not the year to need a quarterback if you need one, because it's just not there. I mean, think about the Colts saying, yeah, Carson Wentz is going to be our guy beginning of next year. Oh my God, Colts fans want to pull their hair out. Same thing with Giants fans and Daniel Jones and Tua, how polarizing he is in Miami. All of these teams, they're going to have the same guys going out there.
Well, you talk about the Colts. It goes back to perception versus reality, right? You look at the final stats, kind of like in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. I can't say I blame Kirk Cousins for a bunch of the losses, but he certainly gets a giant piece of that pie if we're, you know, divvying it up. You know, with Carson Wentz, same thing. When they needed him to be big, he was not. Play calling that takes the ball out of Jonathan Taylor's hands, also part of it, which, you know, was some of the video clips, I guess, from the end of the in-season hard knock stuff that the Colts did. Kind of we kind of did that to ourselves now. Like, yeah, and if I'm a member of that squad and I'm looking at playoff monies and checks I'm not getting for that stupidity, I'm a little pissed going in and saying, hey, and then I wonder if it's an eight-man-out situation. You did not win 30 games. But anyway, as you said, it's shuffling the deck chairs because there's a lot of the familiar names that have been on one-year deals as a placeholder, and now it becomes, all right, that guy didn't work out in situation X. Can he be a guy with the personnel we have to make it work, right? Denver's trying to figure out what they have. Is it Drew Locke? Do they bring in another guy? Because it won't be Teddy. Teddy Two Gloves moves on to his next team. Maybe he goes back to Carolina. No, probably not. They probably draft a guy. But the point is that you're still looking at between the Sam Darnolds and Baker Mayfields. Yeah, it looks like they're stuck, but they're cheap. So if someone saw something in Baker in the last, you know, 2 years, look at the 2020 season, then maybe there's something that you think you could push through. But otherwise, it's slim pickings and wishing and hoping that your shiny new quarterback or second-year guy suddenly gets that much better.
Good luck, because it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Good luck. I mean, you got to deal with the hand that's dealt, right? Yeah. You got to play the hand that's dealt, and this is where it is. Not every year is going to be rich. You can't go to the quarterback tree and just pick a new one off. And, oh, I got a great quarterback. No, not going to happen. And I mean, I can already see the storylines. Another year of talking about Tua for 18 weeks, and is he the
answer in Miami? Well, the GM loved him. I mean, the stuff coming out of Miami. God. Are you kidding me?
Oh, Daniel Jones.
You had Flores getting into it with Tua, and the GM was like, don't you talk to my quarterback that way. Kind of like Chris Penn. Stop yelling at my dad.
Matt Rhule, who's going to be back, and Sam Darnold, who's going to be back, and oh, it's going to be so great.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Whoa, tie shirt. I don't know, man. It might be too early to drink velvet right now, man. We still got some time to go here. We got 40 minutes left.
No, it's perfect time.
Nah, I think it's too early to drink velvet.
No way.
I think it's too early. You know, you've not played one Ronnie Spector song all night.
I'm sorry, who?
Not gotten one Ronnie Spector. She died earlier today.
All right,
Be my little baby.
Not even little Eddie Money, Take Me Home Tonight with Ronnie Spector. Not one.
I'm looking for 90s and up.
90s and your light, refreshing favorites, and 50 minutes of music an hour here. What a shock. Ronnie Spector earlier today, and, you know, so many hits, and you look, and so many people. It's weird, Mike, that and you say Ronnie Spector's name, and so many people know her from the big Eddie Money song. Like, oh, sure. Yeah, did that song with Eddie Money. It's like, no, she had a huge career before that. It was like one of the first big samples of songs. That was like in the early 80s when he did Take Me Home Tonight and you know, use Ronnie Spector, you know, Be My Little Baby in it. That's like one of the first ever samples. Oh, yeah, she did that song with Eddie Money. No, she's the Ronette. She was really big deal before that.
And a great version of Can't Put Your Arms Round a Memory. Yeah, so she's got plenty.
She didn't sing it quite like that, though. She didn't sing it like that.
No, not quite to the punk level. But okay. Certainly we heard a lot of her in our holiday month of music across the Fox Sports Radio network. So another loss here early in 22. Add to the Spotify lists and take yourself back for a career that spanned, what, 6 decades? Mm. 5 decades? I mean, just crazy. And the number of tracks that she was a part of, just go through the laundry list. Just a huge career.
Oh, Ronnie Spector, 78 years old. Rest in peace. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so now to take a look ahead at this weekend in the NFL, we're getting to the point where we're going to preview games and take a look and see how things are going to shake down, who's going to make it till the next weekend. I honestly can see scenarios where all the underdog teams win this weekend, where they all can win. Not created equally, so there's some games where, boy, I really could see this upset, where this one was, well, this would have to go right. So we'll rank the upsets, we'll rank the games in order of most least likely upset to most likely upset. How does that sound? We'll do it that way. I got some surprises at the top of mine. All right, so we'll see if we match up here. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so at number 6, I could see it happening. Because they always find a way to win. They're balanced. They've won 4 in a row. It was a big clutch game they won. The Raiders have everything they need to win this game against Cincinnati. But, boy, I really see them getting a bounce off that game last week. And Cincinnati is at home. They're too dynamic. Their offense is hot. Yes, the Raiders are good enough to win this game, but this is one of those games where we watch and go, man, all right, now the whole world is getting to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and what this team is like and how the era of good feeling for the Bengals is here.
Yeah, you're not stopping that offense. Now, here's the thing. Will they be able to stop the force that is Max Crosby?
Well, Storm Norton's not playing right tackle, yeah. So I think they're okay.
Yeah, as long as they can chip on him a little bit. I am concerned to see, you know, exactly what's up with Burrow's knee, right? Obviously, go back to week 16 and off the field, and then, or I should say, yeah, week 17. And then into week 18, didn't play. Sorry, adding that extra week just It's just unnatural. But we'll get there. But didn't play, and part of it, well, there was nothing to play for. But by the same token, it's a, all right, are we sure he's okay? Full participant at practice today, but still one you raise your eyebrow on. But, yeah, too much talent, too many opportunities to make big plays. And it's not just, hey, throw the ball up to Chase. I know he's out there somewhere. That's part of the strategy. Those other guys are no slouches either.
All right, so if I got that as my least likely upset, number five, I know a lot of people like this, but Dallas at home, their offense is going to get points on the board against San Francisco, who's just kind of okay across the board. And unless San Francisco gets out to a lead early, and we're looking at the second quarter where it's 10-0 49ers, Dallas is going to win this game. It all depends on the start, because if Dallas gets out to a lead or they're up 7-0 or 7-3, their offense is going to feed, because Dallas are great front runners. So, yeah, the 49ers can win this game because clearly, look, Dallas has issues, but they need a lot to go right early for them to be able to hold Dallas at bay. So even though Niners can do it, I see Dallas winning this game.
3-point line in this one. This one, to me, is the lock of the week if we're ranking them 1-6.
You love the Niners.
Part of that is based on the fact that I have San Francisco playing in the Super Bowl from our grid before the season. And Jimmy, I mean, look, I went out on the limb saying Jimmy Garoppolo would still be standing as the quarterback. Lo and behold, here we are. He's got a little bit of issues still with the thumb, but big play potential. And who doesn't love watching Deebo Samuel get after it? We'll see what he versus he can do against Micah Parsons as Parsons tries to run sideline to sideline to chase him down. So I'm looking for also a big game from Kittle, clearly, but Ayuk is the guy I'm circling as a big contributor. That is the number one on my board.
Number one.
There you go.
So there we go. Now there's 6-5-4 for me. Patriots over the Bills. Clearly they're good enough. We know this. And what Bill Belichick has done to other teams, what he does to other quarterbacks, we've seen this. The Patriots, the way they've played the last few weeks, their win against the Bills when they threw the ball three times was emasculating for Buffalo. That looked to me to be the peak of the Patriots this year. They're not coming into the playoffs on a roll. They lost three out of their last four. The only team they beat was the Jaguars, and the Jaguars stink. They're limited offensively. This is one of those, I think Belichick has taken the Patriots as far as he can, because they're not going to be able to score with the teams they need to score to now and win. Now, look, clearly they have the team, and he's done it many times, and it's hard to go against him, but Buffalo, their defense is too good. They had the big get-right game against the Jets last week. They're going to be able to run the football, identify Devin Singletary as their guy. Allen is really, really good. It's going to be hard to slow him down at home. Again, they had the big wake-up call with the Patriots in that game about a month ago. It's going to be so clearly the Patriots can do it, but I still see the Bills coming away with this one.
Yeah, it's one of those games for – I mean, even go back to the run game. Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox both dropped touchdown passes. How much different is that game if now Mac Jones has to throw? Right? I mean, just go back to opportunities missed. Look, a loss is a loss, and you wear it. They also lost to the Jaguars during the season. Think about that. Jaguars take down the mighty Bills and then eliminate the Colts. What a year! What a year! But for the Bills, now that they've got Devin Singletary running the football and more balance, and Josh Allen has been running the ball a ton as well. Just, I mean, you look at the tale of two games. This one's going to be really cold, but we'll see if it's, you know, inclement weather. You can always just sit by the heater a little bit longer. But it's, he went for 314 and three in Foxborough. So, third time the charm. Where's is it somewhere in between? And can the Patriots get enough from Harris and Stevenson and a little play action to work to break Hunter Henry downfield, right, down the seam? But, yeah, this one's the fourth most likely for me on my list.
All right, so now we get to the top three, and these are ones that – I feel pretty good about. And I feel pretty good about the Steelers and the Chiefs. Look, the Steelers have figured out their formula. They play great defense, and they run a lot of plays on offense. Doesn't mean they score a lot. Doesn't mean no, but they run a lot of plays, and they control the clock, and they keep the ball away. And that's what they're going to do in this game. And unless the Chiefs get out to a big lead, that's what the Chiefs' calling card has been, being up 14-0. Getting out early is a big deal, but obviously in this game it means a lot. Even though the Steelers just got it handed to them by them not too long ago, this is a different Steeler team that's figured out this is how we win. This is how we have to do it. And they've been able to survive, and they somehow get in the playoffs, and it's as shocking to me as it is to you, as to everybody else. But I could see the Steelers controlling the clock and frustrating the Chiefs, and the Steelers' defensive line getting pressure on Mahomes, Mahomes having trouble throwing the football, and the Steelers slowly imparting their will on the game and controlling the clock and kicking a field goal late and winning this game.
As you and I have talked about a lot, going back to the first half of the season. Now, likelihood on this one's lower on my depth chart, but the compelling, you know, side of it is, yeah, the Steelers have been here frequently. And can you get the Chiefs to revert to the first half of 2021 form, where you're frustrating Patrick Mahomes and you're taking away the deep shots with either Hardman or Tyreek Hill, or is, you know, Kelce bottled up a little bit on the inside? Can your offensive line keep that pass rush at bay? All of those things come in, which, as we saw, Patrick Mahomes starts to press, and all of a sudden you've got opportunity. You need that. Long, protracted drives. And I like the idea that they recognize, hey, it's house money. Ben Roethlisberger gets to go sling it one more time. Who knows? Maybe it'll be more than 7 yards past the line of scrimmage here. But look for all the gadgetry that you might have ever dreamed up. This is going to be great. This is the Henry Winkler playbook from Bobby Boucher. All right, from the Water Boy. This is what we're going to do. We're going to find that play on page 384 that's never been seen before. He's going to fake or pretend to fake, and all of a sudden it's a touchdown.
Now, one upset I really like, we're going to get to as the week goes on, because as you can tell where I'm going to pick this for my upset special. I really like the Eagles over the Bucks. I do. I think there's a lot of things the Eagles have going for them, and the Bucks are not going to the playoffs at quite the right speed like they were a year ago, and they're struggling in the skill position department. But even though I like that, look, I'll be the first guy to admit, I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl, and the Monday's game against the Cardinals is a toss-up.
I can't wait to be on air for that one. That's going to be so much fun.
I mean, it's going to be weird being on the air during a playoff game. It's going to be so strange.
The Rams and the girl. I keep getting all the calls from the ticket folks. Hey, would you like to come to the playoff game? No. I got to work. I'd love to, but no, I got to work.
The Rams have all kinds of problems defensively. Look, they just signed Eric Weddle. I mean, come on. Could Ed Reed be that far behind? Let's go get Ed Reed. DeAndre Hopkins is not playing on Monday. This is really a toss-up game from two teams that are not playing their best football at the time they need to be. The Rams are playing a little bit better, and the Cardinals seem like they're on fumes. But going into Monday night, if the Rams are going to have trouble covering anybody coming out of there, even if Hopkins is playing or not, yeah, this is a true toss-up game.
I think it comes down to the fact that you got James Conner back and healthy. He had a fantastic season, and when he wasn't there, the run game bogs down. The ability to do a little play action bogs down. Your red zone efficiency really went to hell as well. So you're looking at him as such a big piece of the puzzle here. Kyler Murray's been using his legs more frequently. I mean, this is my number two most likely on the board. Push all in on the Cardinals here to go in and bludgeon the Rams up front and create havoc. J.J. Watt, your guy, going to potentially give you some snaps here to get after Matthew Stafford as well. How great theater is that?
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. There you go. Ranking the upsets from least likely to most likely.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We'll both
Jason,
have more on the – yeah.
Before we continue, I want you to know a $5 bet pays off $6,000 if you just bet them all straight.
Straight, like win on the field, right?
On the field. If all the upsets win, a $5 bet returns $6.
If I go Raiders, Niners, Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, Cardinals, $5 would get me $6,000.
Correct.
Okay. $5 for $6,000. Now, that's a bet. Now, that's a bet. That's a bet I'd love to have.
For the price of a latte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's it. Because I could still buy a latte if I want to.
If you forego the latte, just say, you know, you've got to give up the $5. I think the potential to put $6,000 in your pocket, you might be done after the first game.
Oh, that's true.
But how much fun would it be if that were live on Monday Night Football?
Oh, man. I would be insane if that happened. And I would walk away going, okay, I can't do the show anymore because I need to go gamble for a living. I need to be a professional gambler. I need to bet sports for a living. I don't know if I could do that, though. My God, my system, I might think my insides would attack me. But, boy, that would be a fun way to make a living. What do you do for a living? I'm a gambler. What do you play, poker? No, I gamble on football. Really? Oh, yeah.
What do you do? I pick nothing but upsets.
Yeah. What else do you do?
When was the last time you bet a favorite? 1997.
Hey, man, dude, I was 24-13 in my upset specials this year. That's a pretty good year, 24-13.
It's a way to get some money.
Woo! That's how to get paid. All right.
Well, if only you'd bet. But somewhere out there, some listener did. If you bet all of his upset specials, get after it. I want to say thank you to Nate for his lovely tweet. Basically just cursed at me for picking against the Cowboys.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. I mean, we've hit on something there. I like that.
No, that's big.
That.
Your throat will be sore.
Oh,
we'll
be
investing heavily in throat coat.
Yeah, but it's only one day a week I have to do it because I only have to pick the upsets once. So it's got to air on Friday. It's when I do the show.
Okay. No, that works.
It's going to be tough that I'm allergic to dogs, and that's going to be the tough part. Is that so ironic that I would hit it big on a TV show?
No, but
we can
green screen them in.
Oh, okay. All right.
We could CGI the dogs in. You know, it'll be fine. It'll look like you're petting a dog when, you know, what you've got is someone in the green suit with tennis balls on them, you know, like they do for video games.
I've played 11 different dogs on this show. All Jason does is pick the Browns. All right, so
he pats me on the head, and then it looks like he's saying, good boy.
On the night where even the most staunchest of Lakers supporters and the Lakers themselves realize that, okay, Russell Westbrook is a lost cause, right? It's one of those nights. They lose to the Kings. You watch Buddy Hield score points off the bench. Westbrook has another game with less than 10 points. He shoots horribly. The Lakers felt good after their last couple of games. Now they don't. This is one of those, okay, even the last line of defense has to realize that Russell Westbrook's a lost cause. 3,000 miles away, it was a little bit different. Knicks beat the Mavericks earlier tonight. Julius Randle nearly has a triple-double. And in what is the most fun night, a most fun part of the night in the NBA, Julius Randle, who got into a lot of trouble a week ago by thumbs downing the fans, Mets, apologized in a statement for saying he wanted to put the thumbs down to the fans, saying blank you to them for booing him, because Julius Randle doesn't like to get booed. He channeled his inner Bill Belichick today at a press conference. First time he talked about what went on with putting the thumbs down. And he has learned from the Patriots head coach what to say when he gets a question he doesn't want to answer.
Your Instagram post was obviously heartfelt. What led to you wanting to put that out there on Instagram?
I just felt like I need to address certain stuff that was said or whatever it was.
Were you surprised at all by the backlash?
I already addressed it.
The relationship with the fans right now, is it something that you hope to mend or how?
where do you want this to go right now?
I've already addressed it.
Is that something that management talked to you at all about?
I've already addressed it.
It's already been addressed. It's already been addressed. Everything's already been. Belichick keeps saying that. Everybody loves him. I'm going to tell you, it's already been addressed.
Well, if you're going to steal from the best, right? You're trying to copy best in breed. I mean, they got the Hawks up next. He could have said, I'm on to Atlanta.
No. I like it's already been addressed. He can save that for another time. Like, start with it's already been addressed and then go to the next one.
No, building blocks. Absolutely.
It's already been addressed. I'm going to do that around my house now. My wife says something to me that I don't like. I'm just going to say it's already been addressed.
We'll see how that works out for you. Please make sure you've got the Al Franken camera on your head.
How did you forget to get milk from the store? It's already been addressed. No, I want to know why you forgot. It's already been addressed. It's already been addressed. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. From Mike, I'm Jason. This is Fox.
Bark like a dog.